There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you along and love to talk to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM. And he gave me a little sneak preview. Larry, you've got the kind of trucks folks, working folks are looking for.
Absolutely. We just got them in over the weekend. We got three commercial trucks, is what we call them. We got two F-250s. They're crew cabs, four-wheel drive. One of them's a FX4, four-wheel drive. Yeah, most of these trucks spend most of their time right around the plants or the factories. Most all the miles are right inside that whole little perimeter, so they're in great shape. They're, you know, they're not beat up. And then we got an F-150 crew cab that's got all the options, letters loaded out. So we got three to choose from.
Tell you what, if folks hadn't heard you and I talking before about LCM, it's the inventory and the selection that makes it great. It's also the financing. Tell if somebody hasn't heard it yet. Tell them what y'all bring to it.
Well, we got great financing. We got credit unions. We got banks. We got finance companies. We got local lenders. We got lenders scattered throughout the Southeast. So we got so many different options. And most of them we've done business with for 20 years. So we got a great rapport with them, and we can get the best rates, best terms for our customers.
All right. Check out the commercial vehicles and the whole selection. Give them directions to come see you.
Highway 90 at Plantation Road, online at lcmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry. Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. All right, so I mentioned this as we went into the news there, that the slogan here, as I saw, y'all blew up my text and social media over the weekend, and I was yesterday trying to move stuff around, get storm ready down at the island, and I was just people wanting big discussion about the announcement of Mobile City Councilman Fred Richardson launching his mayoral campaign. I said this and I wasn't really surprised. I was surprised on the timing. And of course the messaging here, at least the slogan that's been rolled out first, when I think about things going on down at Government Plaza, I think about my buddy Dale Leash with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, and he's going to fill in some details. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. So first of all, let's start off with the announcement that came out on Facebook that Councilman Richardson running for mayor, and the slogan is "No vote, no hope, stay woke." And I was trying to figure out. I could tell there's a kind of rhyme structure there, but it's not iambic pentameter. What is that?
No, it's a slant rhyme.
Like a slant rhyme.
It almost rhymes, but it doesn't. Yeah, it's catchy though, right? Like, because it almost rhymes. It's kind of, you can roll it off the tongue pretty nicely.
But yeah. It doesn't rhyme.
Not
okay.
It's not a true rhyme, no.
All right. So first of all, I don't know. You know, and y'all can read more on this. Of course, we're going to talk about it. But check it out over at lanyapmobile.com. No vote. Let's start off with the first one. Just get your interpretation of this as a journalist. Wait, so no vote means what? Encouraging people to come vote?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it means. And I don't have to interpret what it means. I was told. Fred has said what it's about. He's explained it in some of his documents on Facebook and whatnot. But basically, you know, if you don't vote for him, if you don't vote for him or you don't participate in the election, there's no hope for him and the change he wants to bring to the city. So that's kind of what that means.
Okay, so we could almost combine with a hyphen, no vote, no hope, maybe.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the last one here, stay woke.
Right.
Is he, how old is Councilman Richardson?
I believe he's 80.
He's 80.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just with the woke thing. All right, just keep going. I just wanted to point that out.
No, you're right. You know, I'm probably not the person that needs to explain what woke means. But it's sort of like, you know, stay vigilant, stay informed of what the issues are, and you know, don't be swayed by the propaganda and stuff on the other side.
So agree with him. If you agree with Councilman Richardson, you're woke. If you don't, you're asleep. I'm trying to understand here.
Okay. So, well, that's fair.
All right. So working my way through this. So the announcement here, this is for, I guess we need to fill in people, the 2021 cycle, right?
Yeah. So it's exactly a year. Today is exactly a year, I believe. If the date, August 24th, 2021 is right, for the election, we're exactly a year before the election.
Okay, so it's time to. Hey, they start campaigning for president 4 years beforehand. So I guess it shouldn't be a big deal that you're campaigning for mayor a year ahead of time.
Well, you'll probably, once the presidential election in November is over with, you'll probably see a lot more people come out and run for various offices in Mobile. You may even have people wait till 2021 because you know campaign is not going to be the easiest thing to accomplish right now anyway. Even if there weren't a presidential election. So I think once we get past November and safely in the next year, I think you'll start seeing more and more.
I wonder if this wasn't, you know, strategy-wise for it being, like you said, before the November election, maybe not getting the most attention right now, that you would do it for to get in ahead of anybody else, you know, not talking about the incumbent. I'm talking about somebody else that wants to run as well.
Right. I mean, I guess there is something to being the first person to announce, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not necessarily for. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily look at that as a positive or negative, but some folks might feel like, well, if I'm, you know, you're the first to announce, you've kind of got a head start on everybody else, and maybe that's true. I mean, theoretically, the incumbent has a 4-year head start on everybody anyway. But you know, I think being the first to officially announce can put you in the catbird seat if you handle everything correctly
and use it for fundraising. I mean, that's, you know, people
and
get
use
in
it for fundraising. Absolutely.
Now you had a conversation with Councilman Richardson announcing this this run for mayor. You start off with a discussion of that what he said Mayor Stimson has put a steel wall between himself and the Mobile City Council.
Yeah, and I mean to the non-casual observer, because I don't think the casual observer is A, listening to this segment right now, and B, probably cares all that much, but the non-casual observer probably has noticed that there's been some friction between the city council and the mayor going back to
ever
all of their re-elections almost 3 years ago now. So, you know, I think Fred is capitalizing on that, and rightfully so. You know, there was the lawsuit. There's been, you know, the mayor has had some disagreements with the council members over the budget throughout the years. There was the lawsuit over who could hire and fire employees. So, you know, the tone, Fred's tone was basically like, we all need to come together to move the city forward, and I'm the candidate who could do that.
Yeah, but then you and good reporting here. You're asking, you know, Fred Richardson if it would be okay to disagree with the county. If he was mayor, how would he do it?
That's fair. I mean, he basically said that a no, you know, a no is a no. If he can't get something through council, he'll try a different approach. He won't try to finesse its way through. And I mean, that's a lot of politics, right? Like,
it's all of it.
You gotta debate your opinion and try to get people to see your side of things, and if you can't, you know, you try to do it a different way. So he said as far as the council and mayor goes, a no is a no, and he'd move on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm writing that one down. All right, so he also comes in and talks about the budget, and it goes back to some of the favorites here, Lad Peebles and all that. So, I mean, are we laying out, talk about that, laying out a plank of a platform, maybe?
Okay, well, Yeah, the lad thing. I know you remember. You know, the mayor had tried to get money for send money to the USA Stadium, and in the meantime, get kind of a. There really is a better word for it, but to get money in return, sort of like a kickback to kind of redo Ladd Stadium, make it smaller,
right.
You know, kind of modernize it, update it a little bit. And that was met with tremendous backlash from folks in the community who have lived around that stadium for years. And then you kind of had that extended to the budget cycle where council had put in $750,000 additional dollars for Ladd People Stadium, voted to approve it, and then it kind of just sat there for months and months and months. And I think currently they're getting some funding for a walking trail around the stadium. It has taken longer. I would say it's probably taken longer than it normally would because of that disagreement.
Okay, let's do this. We're going to run the news break. Come right back. More with Dale Leash from Landyap, landyapmobile.com. Talk more about the announcement here. Mobile City Councilman Fred Richardson, running for mayor, first name in. And also, I do get a chance, hope we get a chance to talk about this Airbnb regulation thing that seemed to go over poorly last week. We'll talk about that as well.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 122 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Talking to my buddy Dale Leash from Landyap, landyapmobile.com, which let's take a pause for a second and tell folks how to get signed up over at landyapmobile.com.
Okay, we'd love to have you subscribe online or to the newspaper and online. You can do that by going to our website, and there's a little button at the top that says subscribe, and just follow the prompts, and then you'll be able to subscribe. If you have any trouble, give us a call, and we'd be happy to help you kind of walk you through it. And you know, we really, really appreciate every subscriber that we get, because it's it keeps us going and keeps that local coverage going that you enjoy. So please support us, and we'd really appreciate it.
All right. Yeah. And plenty of the kind of reporting that I'm always interested in Landyap, we wouldn't have without them. So let's continue talking about, the announcement of Councilman Fred Richardson. So a couple things here. Number one, that tells me that he's first in, but I got to believe that he's not going to be the last one in. You feel that'll happen after November, right? Some new names in there?
Yeah, some new names, some old names. I think you're going to see a lot more movement when the presidential election is finished, because that usually takes center stage.
Then it goes, reading through, it's so much, and I want you all to read the story that Dale wrote, but you kind of go through, you know, the planks of the platform for Councilman Richardson. He said he would like to work to bring more money into neighborhoods often neglected by the municipal government process, and then it's a discussion of the CIP, right?
Sure. Yeah, that's right. And you know, CIP started in 2016.
And what is CIP? I guess we need to stop for a second and say, what is CIP?
Oh, fair enough. It is the capital program. So they take, penny sales tax that everybody was talking about in 2016, they added that, gave us a 10% sales tax on everything sold in Mobile, and the addition of the money from the additional penny went into this fund, and it was split seven ways, so everybody got $3 million to do infrastructure projects in their districts, ones that they deemed important, and they would, you know, they divvied it up in different ways, but yeah, they split it up and made some improvements, and it was called the Capital Improvement Program.
Why is that a bad thing?
It's not. It's not a bad thing, and in fact, Fred has talked about, it was hard for him to get money to pave streets from the time he started on the council in 1997 till 2016, because there just wasn't, you know, the capital money that was used was not used, he said, for streets in his district. So he was really happy to have that. I think he and some other council members have noticed that the people are big fans of the infrastructure improvements, and I think they'd like to see the city move towards fixing up some neighborhoods, like instead of tearing down blighted houses, maybe using money to let owners fix them up, things like that. And then I think Fred would even probably do he's seen stuff around his district. He talks about the 42 ditches that have been that have not been fixed. There have been several now since that started that have been fixed. I think he'd use as mayor would use more of that money to do projects like that.
But wait a second, he's running for mayor of the city of Mobile, not for the mayor of District 1. I've talked about the ditches forever. Yeah. He's been the councilman in District 1. I mean, that's the job of the councilperson for District 1, not the mayor. I mean, the mayor by default, I guess, but that's a council district thing.
I think it would be more neighborhood-focused programs all over the city, but I think instead of just solely using it for infrastructure, they would use it for more neighborhood type things going forward. And if you'll recall, I think some of the council members pointed this out, the CIP was initially started to deal with drainage and infrastructure and things like that. So to make a change like that, maybe they'd have to go and advertise it again, talk to people about it, make sure everybody's on the same page, because they all said that we were going to do it for infrastructure and drainage. If they start changing it now, it might look a little funny.
I mean, I love parks and merry-go-rounds and all that stuff. I truly do, actually. But if you don't, if the street looks like there's been bombing practice going on it.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It seems like it's not in the right order. All right. So, anything else to the takeaway here?
I got one more thing to add about Fred. He wants to. He's in his letter that he sent. He is pledged to bring back Bayfest. So I kind of buried the lead there, I guess, but he has promised to bring back Bayfest.
That's a plank of the platform, to bring back Bayfest.
Mm-hmm.
Using what money?
It's one line in the letter. I have not asked him about it.
So
because I've got the letter after I talked to him, so I don't know. By noon, the Bayfest thing, I would have obviously asked him about it. But bring back Bayfest. I guess people liked Mayfest, but also it was, getting more and more expensive, and the leadership there was really probably the problem, not funds or bands or anything like that.
All right, before we run out of time, I do want to talk about what was this idea? Is this like they did in California, the idea to do what with Airbnbs? Or what was this push here?
Well, okay, so the additional regulations on Airbnb, I think we're at a time where, tourists are not traveling. You're having issues with lodgings taxes and revenue, and I think it's just another way to get more money into city coffers from, in non-traditional ways. And what they would do, the city wants to do, is require Airbnb hosts to get a business license, and that would obviously add money to city coffers. Now, Airbnb as a company already pays 8% 8% lodgings tax to the city through an agreement with the city. So the lodgings taxes for Airbnb hosts should already have been paid by the company itself. So the council, it was funny, during the meeting that they discussed all this, the council brought some of that stuff, the host brought some of that stuff up to the council, and it looked like, well, maybe Airbnb is okay, but we need to regulate some of the other ones, like VRBO and stuff like that. So I think you're going to see some changes to the initial ordinance amendment that would basically say Airbnb pays their full freight of city taxes and lodgings taxes, so we're okay with them, but these other companies need to act more like Airbnb.
So you know what that's going to do? It's going to... I would like equality in the marketplace, but it's going to push into the very dangerous world of black market rent owner rent houses.
Yeah.
And that's we've seen those terrible movies, so we know what could happen there.
I can't imagine that this won't somehow find its way back to people who are renting Airbnbs as far as the price goes.
Yeah, got to find somebody else with money because the city needs it. All right. Dale, we'll probably talk again the way things are going later this week, but I appreciate your work so far this week, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Sean. I appreciate it.
All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. Oh, yeah, we'll get so text here about annexation, the question about annexation. We'll get into that discussion because it with the announcement that Fred Richardson is running for mayor and then his stance on annexation as a council member. At the same time, we've got municipal elections in Sims where you have one candidate saying, let's annex the whole way the Mississippi line. What does that mean for the city of Mobile? We'll talk about that when we return.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, I'd hate to have not get the discussion of the Greenland shark. I mean, when I'm talking about, what do? I talk about a 393-year-old Greenland shark located in the Arctic Ocean. It says it's been wandering the ocean since 1627. How'd they figure that out? They take a core sample? What'd they do to figure out? I don't want to transition from that story straight into Councilman Richardson at 80 running for. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I want to try to keep these stories separate here about the 393-year-old Greenland shark. I won't do that. So the annexation thing, by the way, too. So let us not forget that there seems to be. It depends on who gets elected in Sims. That this decision, whether to annex or not, if it comes back up, would be moot. If Sims pushes the annexation, would that be something? If Sims, you know, Sims has been growing like crazy. If Sims comes in and annexes right down the line, PJ, that area. I guess I don't know how it would work with the PJ, if they would have to de-PJ themselves to be able to be annexed in. But say they get annexed into Sims. But tax revenue. Think about the stores and things that... If that was voted in, what that would mean for the city of Sims. And it would put the proverbial block on the city of Mobile going forward, at least going west. Interesting. And by the way, too, I saw this from the Facebook page, Fred, the number 4 mayor 2021. Fred for mayor 2021. Said, Fred for mayor 2021 supporters, please watch out for the detractors and those coming on this page with negative comments seeking to suppress voters away from the August 24th, 2021 mayoral election. Seeking to suppress... So if people come on with negative comments, it would suppress votes. All right, he goes on to say, we are to go high when they go low. I like that. That's good messaging. Or do like Jesus did when he was falsely accused. He had nothing to say. I will be lied on and falsely accused. Our eyes must be fixed on the prize, winning the election. Many will not even live in Mobile. They are motivated by hate. No vote, no hope, stay woke. So, am I to take from that if somebody goes on there and is acting like a jerk, I get it. But if somebody does not support Fred Richardson for mayor of Mobile, are they motivated by hate? It's a question. Read it in his own words, so I'm not projecting. He said, I will be lied on and falsely accused, said Richardson, our eyes must be fixed on the prize, winning the election. That's all very fair language. Then many will not even live in Mobile, period. They are motivated by hate. Okay, maybe the people that would oppose him that don't live in Mobile, maybe that's it, that those people are motivated by hate. All right, this is going to be a lot going forward. All right, take some phone calls here, 343-0106. I do want to have time to get to the Greenland shark. David in Mobile's next up. Hey, David.
Sean, before we talk about Airbnb, I know why Fred Richardson wants to be mayor.
Yeah?
He's afraid that you don't have anything to do now that you've changed the lineup at FM Talk 106.5. So he wants to be mayor so you can have new quotes and quips to insert into the Midday Mobile show opening.
It may make that show opening about 26 minutes long.
It may do that. You may have to take some things out. You may have to take the governor out.
I don't know. We'll see.
So, first of all, I really do love the new lineup on the show.
Thank you.
Dan was great this morning with his quick wit. that he's famous for or infamous for, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, he's great. I've written to so many people on the text line today. I'm giddy. I'm just so very excited about Jeff Poor Show and Dan Brennan's edition and I love it. And I got to listen to the morning show from the other side of the speaker this morning and loved it. So I am giddy.
All right, so let's talk about the Airbnb ordinance. The three biggest issues that they're trying to address are legitimate concerns that need to be addressed, and that's the tax, the collection of the lodging tax, the liability cover insurance coverage issue, and you don't want an oversaturation of Airbnb rentals in neighborhoods. All three of those biggest issues could be addressed in a collaborative way with Airbnb property owners and the Airbnb corporation. If the city council and the mayor would do what they did with Uber and Lyft when they first came in, and they sat down in a collaborative manner with all the stakeholders and said, these are concerns, address them, and to the benefit of everybody. We did it with Uber and Lyft. It was successful. It can be successful with Airbnb.
Okay, what about the other? I mean, if you start saying, okay, and there's this VRBO and go down the line, what about for people that just maybe they go to, I don't know, whatever classified and do it on their own, right? They're not under the auspices of one of these bigger players.
Well, that's such a small part of the market. I don't think that it would, except for maybe in towns like Gulf Shores or Orange Beach, where you've got such short-term, or the short-term rental market's such a big part of their market. But in the city of Mobile itself, I don't think that's such a big part of the market that they're really worried about it. But like, for example, if I'm a third-party seller on Amazon, you're going to pay sales tax to the state of Alabama. But Amazon's going to collect it, and Amazon's going to pay it to the mm-hmm. state of Alabama. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it. I'm sure Airbnb is working on something similar if they don't already have something in place. For the liability insurance coverage matter, I'm sure Airbnb would be more than willing to put up a $1 million umbrella insurance policy for the city of Mobile and charge their renters, their properties in Mobile, just a little bit extra fee to generate more revenue. Well, and then for... And they can geofence certain neighborhoods to cut down on saturation of neighborhoods for Airbnb.
Let's talk about that. What's that right number? See what I'm saying? I think it's a fair discussion, and I hear what you're saying, that if I live in a neighborhood, I don't want a bunch of people renting out property, having parties all the time, or whatever it would be. And I don't want to, if it's a rental neighborhood, then... which they kind of are, short-term rentals, then it devalues my property or something like that. But when do you say it's saturated? Is it, somebody's got to say it's 12%, it's 20%. Who is the arbiter of that? What's right?
And that's where I think that a collaborative effort between the city, property owners, and the companies that run the websites can come up with an answer that is amenable to everybody, because... They're the ones that have the stake in the matter. They're the ones that have the knowledge that says, this is saturation, this isn't.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
There we go. This is saturation.
I was going to say, that's where I think a collaborative effort between everybody would be very beneficial, because they're the ones that have the skin in the game, and they're the ones that would know what is saturation and what isn't.
Okay. There could be a lot of different opinions here, man. Collaborative, it means different opinions.
Collaborative, but this also means compromise too. So
well,
you may not get the number you want,
but
Airbnb won't get the number they want either.
We'll see. Let's see if compromise is still alive at some levels. David, thanks for the call. By the way, so Greg's saying, I wish this could be a plank of a platform. Would you? Okay. Because let me make sure I'm correct. Greg, I don't know, and somebody could correct, is the Bankhead Tunnel, does the city of Mobile own the Bankhead Tunnel? Or is it the... Well, the city decided to do that, walk and ride thing through the Bankhead? So maybe they do. Maybe it's more... But Greg's saying, basically, I wish somebody would fix the Bankhead Tunnel washboard so I don't lose a boat motor every time I go to the causeway. Greg, I agree with you. It's been a rite of passage, right, for anybody... trailers, boats through there since, I guess, I started in the 1980s. You want your boat bouncing, everything in the boat bounces up and lands, even if you go, so slowly that people are honking behind you. So maybe you're thinking, Greg, if If now mayoral candidate and city councilman Fred Richardson announced maybe he wasn't going to use all the money to bring back Bayfest, but he was going to pave the Bankhead Tunnel and fix that. It's interesting. There's a plank of a platform. A lot of, listen, there's going to be a lot of time to talk about this. John says, one thing Fred Richardson did that I was happy about is that he helped pass an ordinance that prevents people from begging for money in public places. The ordinance has not totally eliminated it, but it has been a big help. John, that's a good point. We talked about that in the past quite a bit. I didn't know the after effects because I don't get out much. So it's better. That's a good thing. And when I used to work downtown, or at least in Eastern Midtown, it was daily. Same guy would walk in and say, listen, here's what's happened. I just need $20 to get to the bus to Pensacola. I said, you told me the same thing yesterday, man. Oh, no, I didn't. I said, yeah, you're in here. So I started taking pictures of the guy. It was years ago. All right, 146 news coming up next, and then we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
A programming note for tomorrow's Midday Mobile. Guest in hour number one, Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich joins us. A lot to talk about getting people. But part of it, we're going to kind of have a wide-ranging discussion like we have in the past. But one of the big pushes here is making sure that y'all honor your summons for jury duty and not allow COVID to stop folks from coming in to do your duty. I can say, if the Mobile City Council has gone to virtual meetings, then why would people have to go to jury duty? Don't get mad at me. I'm just setting that question up. We'll talk about that. But guest hour number one tomorrow will be Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich. And having good Greenland shark discussions here. Jay said Greenland shark, and they're poisonous. Isn't it that they... Don't they have, like, something in their blood, like an antifreeze or something? Am I remembering that from somewhere else? Don't they have an antifreeze in the blood? Not real. I mean, it's not some Prestone or something, but some kind of created... Scotty says the shark probably stopped by to tell them all the things that were wrong about Fred before he was elected. Stay woke. This shark thing, I just got to get... This is wild. So the story pops up about a Greenland shark. It popped up on Twitter, said this is a 393-year-old Greenland shark that was located in the Arctic Ocean. It's been wandering the ocean since 1627. It's the oldest living vertebrate known on the planet. So I don't even want to go through all the things I've seen on Twitter that people... I hope they're joking. People like had said, well, there weren't even people around in 1627. So how would they know? But I did ask, how would they know? How would they know how old, you know, I joked about taking a core of the shark and figuring it out. I don't know. It said here, a story from Outsider.com. It says, many have responded asking how the scientists know the animal's age. Much like many folks on Twitter, scientists remain mystified about many facts regarding the massive sharks. While much remains unknown, researchers know a handful of facts about Greenland sharks. Scientists discovered the Greenland shark can live upwards of 400 years old. Given that, so it's a shark with wisdom here. And they get big, but it probably takes forever for them to get big. If you're in cold, cold waters, you don't grow very fast. Said, given that sharks prefer extreme deep water, studies on the predator can prove challenging. Therefore, the longevity questions surrounding the shark seem unanswerable. Now, you just told me it's 393 years old, and then you say, well, it's unanswerable. Cal State Fullerton marine biology graduate student Megan Swintek is working to learn more about this incredible species. Swintek presented her research at the annual meeting of the Ecological Society of America earlier this month. Did they do that in person? Did they have masks on? She claimed that the research on the large animals is made more difficult because of potential human-caused harm to the oceans. Yeah, here we go. And believe me, humans, we are screwing up the ocean with great rapidity. And it's, you know, people always focus on the United States. Look what comes out of the rest of the world into the oceans. But I'm still stuck on this thing that they say it's a 390... They don't just say it's an old shark. They say it's 393-year-old Greenland shark. And then they say, but, you know, we have really no way of knowing, you know, how old these sharks are. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of groups out there saying that this is really a picture of a Greenland shark, and they're saying, I mean, it's I think there's, like, in other words, the debunking out there has not said that this is a fake picture of a Greenland shark. That's, I think there's several, you know, I mean, that's several groups out there saying, no, this really is a Greenland shark, but they doubt too on some of these how we're going to assess it's 393 years old. Oh, and there's a BBC where it's now made it 400 years old. Okay, well, it's aging. Now, there's another story from, was it LiveScience.com? No, we have not found a 512-year-old Greenland shark. With the Greenland shark, listen, if 300's good, 300 is, it's had its tricentennial. So, sharky-looking shark out there. So, all right, coming up next, Paul Feinbaum on the way, and I know he's going to be talking about Tuscaloosa, I'm sure, with this bar shutdown. I was a student, graduated from the University of Alabama, went there in the, where should it start, 1990, back in 1990, when there were, the bars weren't nearly as fancy as they are now, and they weren't as big. Like, if they'd have gone 50% capacity, then 17 of us could have been in there. But the city of Tuscaloosa has shut down the bars for 2 weeks, 14 days, starting this afternoon at 5, they said, to slow the spread of COVID-19 in the area. Now, won't those kids... I don't know what you do. I mean, if you follow the rules, it's 50% capacity. If the bar doesn't follow the rule of the city, then the city has, you know, within that city, can shut it down. But they're shutting them all down completely. 2 weeks. Now, the byproduct, I think, parents will be happy. There'll actually be some studying done, probably, and some... You know, some grades will improve because of this, but yeah, the city, and basically the conversation is, if y'all want football, we need to shut these bars down because people are not socially distancing. Is that a strange thing to you that a municipality would basically say, all right, football, this threatens football, so we're going to shut down these private businesses because it's threatening football? I don't know. But you'll hear more about that with Paul's show. Also, we'll talk more about sports tomorrow morning. Get sports update from Dalton. And I got to say, day one, just really enjoyed. No, you're going to say sleeping in. I got up at 5:30 this morning, but sure enjoyed hearing Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig doing Mobile Mornings. And you'll get another taste of that tomorrow. And, of course, in between that show and this show, the Jeff Poor Show. 8 hours in a row of live local programming, 53 hours a week of organic programming from right here at our studios, available in podcast form. But we've got the voices. We've got the voice of Dr. Bill Williams to give you updates on the tropics throughout your afternoon, evening, and tomorrow, as he says Marco's pretty much falling apart. Laura's going to be possibly a Category 3 by the time it comes in to southwest Louisiana Wednesday into Thursday. Appreciate y'all a whole bunch. A lot of fun. New horizons for the station are a great thing, and we're all fired up about it. That's for sure. It's 1:58. Feinbaum on the way in just a minute, and I'll talk to y'all tomorrow at noon.